The Holy Gospel for this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, the 21st chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt now because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, grace and peace are yours from Jesus, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen. This past week during a Bible study gathering, I asked our participants to share their highs and their lows, or their something good and something bad, maybe as you want to hear it, since Easter. I asked them to share a high and low since Easter. And a few of them said, "Since Easter? I can't think that far back." Mind you, it had only been 10 days since the resurrection of our Lord, and yet already for many, Easter seemed like a distant memory. The long 40 days of Lent had ended with those holy 3 days, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, that most joyful of days in the life of Christians, and how quickly the people had forgotten. But before I get too self-righteous on all of you about my own pious memory for Easter Sunday, it just so happens this year that Easter Sunday was my birthday, and so I have maybe more emotional reasons for not letting go. Because most years, I am right there too with them, with Easter quickly becoming a distant memory. Loved the lilies, the trumpets, the hymns. Easter, big fan, one of my favorite days of the year. Good worship, good brunch, good nap. Glad to have those alleluias back. Glad for the songs and the smells that remind us of Jesus' victory over death on our behalf. I revel in the passionate faith we claim on Easter, the ways we throw our shouts of life in the face of death and all that might try to separate us from the love of God and Jesus. I love the defiant joy of Easter. I love that it's everywhere. If you're like me, faith seems stronger on Easter. The trumpets and the alleluias make it somehow easier to claim faith in our crucified and risen Lord. But then Easter Monday comes, and Easter Tuesday. And with those post-Easter days come what Luther Seminary professor Craig Kester calls the tyranny of the ordinary. No more festivals, no more high holy days, no more abstaining from family drama because it's Easter, no more candy before 7 a.m., no more trumpets, no more surprises from empty tombs and novice women preachers whose idle tales, as it turns out, were not so idle. After all, Easter Tuesday comes, and Easter Wednesday, all the way to today, the third Sunday of Easter, and you know what they say about the third Sunday of Easter? Nothing. Here we are, knee-deep back into the tyranny of the ordinary, the post-Easter life, which is precisely where we find Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, and a few of their comrades today in the Gospel of John. It's been a while since the women's testimony from the empty tomb. It's even been a while since the whole doubting Thomas bit in the upper room when the resurrected Jesus somehow floated through a wall and then showed the holes in his hands and his side. Now, in our story, it might be Easter Thursday or the third Sunday of Easter. We don't know. The writer doesn't say the exact day, which probably means the timing is not notable, not even interesting enough of a detail to include the tyranny of the ordinary. Easter seems like a distant memory at this point in the story. The disciples are sitting by the Sea of Tiberias, where they used to hang out before that whole Jesus thing happened. They're fishing, which is what they always did before the Jesus thing happened. This group of guys had hung out with Jesus for a few years. They'd gotten captured by his teaching. They had followed him with the confusion and the hope and the inspiration that all meshes together in the life of discipleship. But then Jesus had died. Their teacher, their master, had died. A few days later, he had risen from the dead and then joined them in that upper room and shared a meal with them. But now some more time has passed, and there aren't any signs of Jesus again. That whole risen Lord thing seems harder to claim now. Easter seems like a distant memory. So what do? They go fishing. It's what they've always done. It's what they know. Peter starts the fishing excursion, maybe to break the long and heavy silence of disciples with no teacher, of sheep with no shepherd. "Well, I'm going fishing," Peter says. "We'll join you," they reply, because what else are they going to do anyway? Might as well go fishing. But they catch nothing. And just after dawn, after a long night with no success, Jesus shows up on the shore, though they don't recognize him yet. And Jesus joins them in the fishing. "Try casting the net over to the right side of the boat," Jesus says, "and then you'll start catching some fish." The men follow the advice of this mysterious fishing coach, and sure enough, they pull in more fish than they can handle. And a few minutes later, after they brush off their morning on the water, they mosey over to a charcoal fire on which cooks some fish and nearby sits some bread. And there by the morning campfire, Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." Of all the quotable quotes spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I can't say I have ever seen this one attached to a rear bumper or daintily stenciled on a kitchen wall. "Come and have breakfast." Maybe because it's so exceedingly ordinary, we don't hear this quote much. It's something any one of us might say. In fact, I said it yesterday to John after throwing together some unremarkable French toast. Come and have breakfast. It's so ordinary. And yet Jesus says it around a campfire to his friends, smack dab in the middle of the ordinary. There is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is exactly where the disciples need him to be in this moment, and exactly where many of us need him to be today. It's easy to see him on Easter Sunday, but it's harder on Easter Thursday or on the third Sunday of Easter. Yesterday morning, one of my teachers and a teacher and pastor and leader to millions died at age 37. The Christian writer Rachel Held Evans wrote of faith that wrestled with the Bible and with the cultural reality of Christianity. She wrote of a faith that beckoned her and her readers into a life of advocacy for those who are marginalized, particularly those who are marginalized in the church. Held Evans wrote honestly of faith. Last night, as I was lamenting her death and reading tributes of her online, tributes to her, I found this tweet from her good friend and fellow writer, Sarah Bessie, which Bessie wrote last week while Held Evans was in the hospital. She wrote this: "I was thinking tonight of a phrase Rachel Held Evans often says when talking about the stories of Scripture. She reads the wild and miraculous story, and then before preaching on it, she says, 'On the days when I believe this, I have always loved this about her.'" It seems our passage from John's Gospel today finds the disciples on a day when they don't believe this, which, as Rachel Held Evans would remind us, and I would remind us, are days most disciples have. Call it Easter Thursday, call it the third Sunday of Easter. The Alleluias have gotten quieter, and that's when Jesus shows up. Our passage from John's Gospel starts by saying Jesus showed himself in this way, not through trumpets, not after the disciples shouted Alleluia, not when the disciples perfectly recited the Apostles' Creed, not even at this point by healing someone or by preaching on a mountain. At this moment, in the middle of the tyranny of the ordinary, Jesus shows up by cooking some fish among a bunch of fishermen. He shows up in the familiar, in the everyday, in the reality of life. And in doing so, he makes sacred that which is mundane. He makes holy that which is plain. He makes extraordinary that which is ordinary. It's not the first time Jesus has done this, certainly. The night before his death, he takes some regular old bread and wine and makes them holy as his body and blood. And he grabs a basin of plain water and performs a servant's act of foot washing, making holy that which is common, even that which is dirty. Jesus is in the business of making life sacred, ordinary life, real life. Last Sunday, we hosted David and Gloria Anderson of Milestones Ministries. Many of you had a chance to hear them preach and teach in worship and or attend their workshop in the afternoon. One of David and Gloria's major goals is to equip the people of faith to recognize and celebrate the sacredness in daily life. They want to help all of us recognize the ways Jesus shows up in the ordinary, to name the holy in the mundane, because Jesus Christ himself shows up in the ordinary, making sacred that which is common. Jesus himself cooks up some fish and says, "Come and have breakfast." And he died and rose for us, reminding us that the gift of Easter is not just for the high holy days of faith, but also, and maybe even more so, the gift of Easter is for Easter Monday, and the third Sunday of Easter, and so on. The gift of Easter is for the tyranny of the ordinary. And in that spirit, this morning we get to celebrate several milestones in the lives of our ministry partners. At this worship service, we'll celebrate our kindergartners as they learn about the gift of prayer in every day and every place of life. To celebrate the sacred moments of talking to God, not just here in our worship space, but wherever we go. And at the second service, We'll celebrate our fifth graders and their Earth Care milestone, and we'll bless them for the sacred work of stewarding God's creation. The holy activity of playing in the dirt and picking up trash and other moments we have of co-creating or recreating with our God. Also at the second service, we'll bless several of our teens through the Teens in Traffic milestone, and we'll all recognize the tender and fragile moment of driving when we who take the wheel are responsible for the safety of ourselves and everyone else on the road. These are holy moments. These milestones remind us all to remember the sacred in moments of prayer or gardening or driving. They call us to see Jesus in the midst of our daily lives, to hear him show up and say, "Come and have breakfast." We hear today that faith is not rocket science, it's just breakfast and moments like it. And the same goes for Jesus' call to Peter. And his call to us, it's not rocket science. During a conversation around a campfire toward the end of our reading today, Jesus asks Peter three times if he loves him. And every time Peter says yes, and Jesus responds each time with a call. First, feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, and then feed my sheep. If you love me, Peter, Jesus says, then show me, and show me in this way. Feed people, take care of them in their daily lives. Jesus shows up in the ordinary and gives a call that sounds mighty ordinary. Feed people, take care of them. Jesus doesn't say, run to the synagogue, Peter, study for a few years and become a rabbi. He doesn't say, pack up your bags and bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. At least here, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, Peter, what are you doing, wasting your time around a campfire? No, he shows up and sits there with him in that ordinary moment and calls him into ordinary work of feeding and tending. This is the Jesus we meet on the third Sunday of Easter, the Messiah who shows up in the ordinary to show us that the life of faith is about everyday moments, and the call of faith is to feed our neighbors in their own everyday lives, where God might meet them through us. Thanks be to God.